Good day, and welcome to the TGS Q2 2012 results webcast and teleconference. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Robert Hobbs. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Elaine. Hello, and welcome to TGS's second quarter 2012 conference call. My name is Robert Hobbs. I'm CEO of TGS, and joining me today on the call is Kristian Johansen, our CFO. Earlier today, we posted our second quarter earnings release and held a presentation of the results. A replay of the presentation is available on our website, which is www.tgs.com. I hope that you've had an opportunity to view that release, and we'll now give just a brief summary of the main points before opening the call to your questions. We are very pleased to have yet another outstanding quarter. Our investment activity in new high-quality geoscience projects has never been greater, and growing customer interest in TGS's library has been confirmed. As a result of this performance and our investment opportunity pipeline, we are revising our annual guidance. Our net revenues of $214.8 million were up 58% compared to the same period 1 year ago. Net late sales were $108.5 million, up 11% from late sales in Q2 2011. For the first half of 2012, net revenues were $406.1 million, an increase of 51% from the first half of 2011. Net late sales for the first half are up 21% from the previous year at $221.3 million. Net pre-funding revenues for Q2 were $100 million, up 275% compared to a year ago, reflecting a dramatic increase in investment activity versus Q2 of 2011. Pre-funding revenues covered 62% of our record quarterly investment, or $162 million. Investments for the first half of 2012 total $263.1 million, covered by pre-funding of 66%. The multi-client amortization rate was 43% during the quarter, within our guided range for the full year of 2012. Amortization fluctuates from quarter to quarter, depending upon the sales mix of the projects. Amortization for the first half of 2012 was 41%. Our operating profit, or EBIT, for Q2 2012 was $94.2 million, representing a margin of 44%. This was an increase from a margin of 42% in the same period of 2011. Operating profit for the first half of 2012 was $183.1 million, up 57% from the same period in 2011. Earnings per share in the second quarter were 63 cents a share versus 41 cents a share a year ago, and earnings per share for the first half of 2012 was $1.24 versus 81 cents a share for the same period in 2011. Cash flow from operations after taxes before investments was $144 million compared to $93.3 million a year ago. Our backlog was $188 million at the end of Q2, which is 51% higher than 1 year ago. In the quarter, we were able to execute on attractive investments aligned with regions of recent E&P growth. We completed acquisition of two new 3D surveys in the Barents Sea, which will be critical for industry to evaluate acreage included in the current Norwegian 22nd license round. In addition, the company worked to grow its 3D library on the Atlantic margin in the UK and Faroes waters, an area of increased exploration interest. The highly anticipated return of the Central Gulf of Mexico lease sale in June showed high bid activity in the heart of TGS's recent wide azimuth investments. This provides further confidence in the strength of TGS investments in this area. The company also executed very well in completing three large 3D surveys offshore Northwest Australia and continued acquisition of its 12,500 square kilometer 3D in deepwater Angola, an area of high exploration activity for pre-salt reservoirs. Customer interest in the company's library continues to be strong and confirms that TGS has acquired its data products is some of the most interesting hydrocarbon plays in the world. During Q2, we completed the acquisition of two companies. In May, TGS acquired Volant Solutions, a company specializing in integration solutions to help oil companies connect many types of geotechnical data to multiple geoscience applications. And in June, TGS acquired Arcus Corporation, a Canadian data library and seismic processing company. We are excited about the exposure to Canada, the second largest onshore multi-client market in the world, and we're excited about the opening into this market that this transaction will offer for us. The results of Volant have been incorporated in our Q2 results, and the Arcus results will be consolidated as of Q3. We're very pleased with our results for the first half of the year and are on track to achieving our expectations for the year. This performance and our investment outlook have resulted in a revision of our previous annual guidance. We now guide multi-client investments of $425 to $475 million, average pre-funding in the range of 60 to 70% of investments, and that guidance is unchanged. We also leave our amortization rate guidance unchanged in the range of 41 to 47% of net revenues. And we've upgraded our net revenue guidance to a range of $810 to $870 million, of which less than 5% will be from proprietary contract projects. At this time, we'll open the call for your questions. I'll now turn the call over to Elaine, our operator, who will cue the questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will take our first question from Rob Pullen from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. A few questions from myself, if that's all right. First of all, the increase in multi-client capex, I imagine that's a combination between input costs going up, but also the opportunities that you see out there obviously being larger. If you could maybe give a bit of color around that. The second question I have is, in terms of the larger capex that you're planning to spend this year, how much of that relates to the sort of new U.S. onshore activities that you flagged as being an area of opportunity? And the third question I have is how much of the increased revenue guidance actually relates to that acquisition you made in June, and obviously will come into the results in 3Q. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for your questions, Rob. Dealing with the first one, how much maybe increased costs have an impact in sort of our increased investment guidance. Actually, most of the capacity that we are using right now, our 3D capacity and wide azimuth capacity, we locked in late 2011. So that capacity has been locked in for quite some time. We went ahead and chartered that capacity last year and are utilizing that this summer. So I would say, very little of the investment guidance upgrade is for that reason, since that capacity was already locked in before we started the year. The second question relating how much of what component of the increased investment is related to the new onshore activity, we don't really guide dollar terms to that. But Rob, if you look at our slides, we have two slides that show the crews that we are using, both marine and onshore, and so you can look at the timing of those operations to get an estimate on investment by just employing day rates on the vessel crews. But also, we have guided for land projects, costs for land projects ranging anywhere between $50,000 per square mile and $90,000 per square mile, dependent upon the type of terrain you're in terms of acquisition, onshore acquisition. And we published the size of our onshore projects when we announced those projects, so you could probably do your own calculation to try to arrive at what component the onshore activity might have to our increased investment. In terms of how are the acquisition that we announced in June, which is the Arcus Corporation acquisition, what impact that might have had to the guidance revision? It did have some input. We're not going to guide on investment on that particular business alone. Investment and revenues are being recorded as part of our NSA. reporting that you'll see in our earnings releases going forward, and that operation will be, as of the start of Q3, will be reflected in those numbers going forward. But, you know, of course, we acquired that company to get us in the Canadian data library market, so you can imagine that we're looking at some investments that we're very interested in that market that that Arcus is bringing us. So I would expect some announcements going forward here on maybe some new projects up in that area. And I guess you'll just have to wait on those announcements in terms of the size of those projects when we talk about that.
Okay, thanks very much. And sorry, one extra question actually on a slightly different topic. I saw the backlog was actually down quarter on quarter, albeit very strong year on year growth. Could you just sort of give a little bit of color as to what the dynamics are there and how we should think about that going forward?
Sure. You know, backlog reflects the commitments that we have gathered from customers on projects that we haven't finished yet. So typically, you know, before, as we're out collecting pre-funding for new projects and for the activity we're going to undertake, those pre-funding commitments are put into the backlog. And as you complete those projects, you're working off that backlog and recognizing that backlog as pre-funded revenue on a POC, or percent of completion basis on those projects. So, you know, in Q1, Q2, we built that back, or Q1, we built up that backlog. I guess we've been building up our backlog since late last year for several quarters. And reported, you know, a record backlog of almost $242 million in Q1. Well, a lot of that was pre-funding dollars that we were collecting for our very busy summer acquisition season that you see in our vessel charts. So we've been, you know, during Q2, we started working a lot of that off, and that's why it's dropped to 188 this quarter, because we've been working a lot of those pre-funding commitments off the backlog.
Okay, and that should presumably go trend higher through the remainder of the year as you have pre-funding on the Gulf of Mexico surveys that are just starting up, correct?
Well, we haven't announced any new Gulf of Mexico surveys, but you know, as we collect pre-funding on new investments, then we will add to that backlog going forward.
Okay. That's very clear. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rob.
We will take our next question from Amy Wong from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. My question was relating to your guidance on the average pre-funding rate of 60-70%. You guys did around, you know, just kind of mid-range there. You have some visibility in your backlog. We're kind of, you know, already in August now. Can you give us some help on understanding, you know, what the range is really on the, you know, what's the downside range of going down to 60% and what's, you know, what's in the upside range of going up to 70%?
Well, I don't know if I could really comment on that, Amy, other than, you know, we're sticking with our 60-70% number. I think if we had stronger visibility on whether that was going to go to the upside or go to the downside, we'd narrow our guidance and change it. So I think that would probably tell you that we're comfortable sticking with the 60-70 at this point based upon the pipeline of projects that we see right now.
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
I should add to that this is very much related to where we shoot our surveys. So it's you know, a survey in West Africa would typically have a higher pre-funding than a survey in the Gulf of Mexico or even Norway. So it really depends on where we're going to shoot the next surveys for Q3 and Q4.
Got you. Thanks, Christian.
We will now take our next question from Tom Ackermans from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Two questions from my side, please. First of all, on Arcis, you've indicated that business has done about $50 million of revenues in the past 2 years. So I was just wondering if you could give us the average investment in new data that business has made over the last couple of years as well. I would imagine it's somewhere around $20-25 million, but any color on that would be helpful. And also on Arcis, in terms of the book value of the library, it seems that is around $26 million. That implies that you've paid about 2.8 times the value of the book value of the library. Seems a bit high to me, but perhaps there's anything additional interesting in that business that you think is particularly valuable. So any comment on that would be great. And then from a wider business perspective, I'm just wondering, you've had a great year so far. What's the next step from here? Is it much more investments in the land business, or do you think you can kind of move up your marine investments by another $100 million next year without having to sacrifice project returns?
Okay, Tom, thank you for the questions. I will start with the first one. With regards to ARKIS, the only thing we have communicated to the market is that ARKIS had average revenues of about $50 million Canadian dollars over the last 2 years.
And that's average per year for the last 2 years?
Average per year, of course. We haven't said anything about average investments or investments over the past couple of years, but we've shown you the database and we've shown you the, or you can tell from their website what the size of the data library is. And that's pretty much what we are prepared to communicate to the market right now.
Okay.
And with regards to the pricing of ARKIS, we've done a preliminary purchase price allocation, and from that you will see, or from the note 6 in our earnings release, you will see that the net book value allocated to the existing library is about $25.6
million. Mm-hmm.
And obviously there is about $25 million of goodwill and also some intangible assets that can be identified. Whether that is cheap or expensive is up to us to prove in the future, of course. But we think there's a lot of good things about the ARKIS business that we are very excited about. I think one of the things that we are attracted to is obviously their ability and their capacity to process existing land data. So they have actually already started processing one of the land surveys that we are doing in the U.S. So there's a lot of synergies on the processing side, which is obviously very important for us.
Yeah.
Third question is related to investment growth going forward. Obviously, this is a business where we've kept a very strong balance sheet for a number of years, and we're doing that just because we want to take the opportunities when they are there. In Q2 and Q3, we see a lot of opportunities, and that's why we have revised our guidance. So whether we are able to continue to grow our investments for 2013, it's way too early to say. But as Robert said this morning, we feel quite good about the long-term pipeline as well. So we will see new projects coming in for sure.
I would also add to that, your question about, you know, sort of potential distribution of investments. Investment opportunities are being brought to Christian and I to look at and to approve really from all of our regions, and that includes land and marine, and then all of our marine regions. And I would say also our geologic products division too for new products. So it's pretty broadly spread out. There's not really one region or product line where we're seeing an overwhelming amount of new opportunities.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
As a reminder, to ask a question in today's question and answer session, please press star 1. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will take our next question from Alex Brooks from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Two questions. I'm going to ask Tom's question a slightly different way, which is that on ARKIS again, the multi-client library had a book value of $26 million, is established in revenue of $50 million. That compares pretty favorably to the rest of TGS, which was generating more like $800 million on a $600 million multi-client base. And I guess the question would be whether you'd like to comment on either the amortization policy or the sort of recent success of their surveys, if they've actually been very successful in the recent past. And the second question is on Gulf of Mexico. One of the fears we had in the wake of the Macondo incident was the idea that the size of bidding consortia would go down, and that would make it harder for you to generate large numbers of late sales off those surveys. And I wonder if you could give an update on that.
Sure. Let me just take your second question first, and then I'll turn it over to Christian to maybe expand a little bit on the ARKIS numbers. In terms of the Gulf of Mexico, we had the first Central Gulf of Mexico round on June 20th, which is the first Central rounds that we've had since March of 2010. We were pleased with the activity that we saw in our area. I guess our area was probably the most active in the sale. In fact, the high bid block was in the central portion of our wide azimuth coverage. It was the Statoil bid of $157 million on a block in Mississippi Canyon. I would say that overall in the total central Gulf of Mexico, the number of customers dropped off a little bit from, well, about 20%, 20 to 25% from March of 2010. Really the type of the size of customers and the mix of customers, I would say, really hasn't changed all that much. We've been impressed that we haven't seen a lot of the independents really exit the Gulf of Mexico. A lot of them really hung in there. So I think we were pleased with what we saw in the Central Gulf of Mexico activity, and we're encouraged that the government has now come back with a 5-year plan that includes the Central Gulf of Mexico around once a year, and looks like things are kind of getting back to normal more or less. I'll turn it over to Christian on the Arcus questions.
Yeah, so as I previously mentioned, we did a preliminary purchase price allocation on the $72 million enterprise value that we paid for Arcus. And you're right, we've allocated 25.6 to the existing library, which is slightly higher than the book value of the library. What we typically do in an exercise like that is we do a cash flow analysis to evaluate how much sales we can generate from the existing library, and then we discount that back to today's value by using a relatively high weighted average cost of capital. And the answer to that is 25.6 million based on that exercise. Whether that compares favorably to the existing sales to investment ratios of or the existing library yield of the existing database of TGS, yeah, you may argue that, and we think this is a good database that we can sell from, obviously. On amortization principles of Arcus, it has been, as you know, Arcus has been a private company, so Arcus has not followed the same kind of IFRS accounting policies as TGS does. That means that they can pretty much amortize as much as they want, and sometimes it's very favorable for a private company to have a high amortization rate in order to pay lower taxes. So it's not really comparable. The past is not really comparable to the future. We think the Arcus library will probably perform pretty much in line with the existing library of TGS. That is what we think as of today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
As a reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. We will take our next question from Christopher Moller-Loken from SB1 Markets.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just a short question on 2013 multi-client investments. What would you rate the largest constraint from your part? Would it be access to vessels, is financing, people, or projects? Thank you.
That's a tough question. I think we're always concerned about people. That's really what drives our project development process. And I guess I would also say that we tend to, particularly in a market that we're moving into now, where vessel capacity seems to be a bit tighter, we tend to be pretty cautious in our outlook and on vessel availability going forward. I would say we're going to be starting to look at our 2013 budget and outlook here in the next couple of months, start that budgeting process. I think a large part of that budgeting process is going to be, I can tell you right now, we're seeing a lot of opportunities already being brought to us that will go into 2013. So it looks, at this point, pretty opportunity heavy. A lot goes into the project development process, such as timing of permitting, timing of license rounds within areas. It's really kind of t- too early to really comment a lot, I guess, Christopher, on 2013 multi-client investments. But, you know, I would say that what keeps us awake at night oftentimes is making sure we have the right people on board that can keep bringing these high-quality opportunities to us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Are there any further questions?
We don't have any further questions at this time.
Okay.
We
just
have one more question there from James Thompson from J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Obviously a very good caller for TGS. I think the one thing that sort of struck me in the presentation pack was that it looks like your kind of capacity secured for Q4 of this year seems to have actually fallen a bit with the Artemis Atlantic, I think, an option in West Africa falling away. You commented previously that you're looking to kind of make sort of smoother investments for the year, but I guess that doesn't really seem the case now. Has it been difficult to get capacity for fourth quarter?
No, I can't say it's been difficult. A lot of it has to do with sort of project timing and the seasonal season of Northwest Europe, and I think you know, a lot of the opportunities that we picked up in Q2 have to do with you know, Northwest Europe is extremely active right now. It's you know, summer season. Q2, Q3 is when you have to get that data shot before the weather goes bad on you in Q4. I can tell you that we are in advanced planning stages of projects that will help fill out that Q4. So I wouldn't assume, James, if I were you, I wouldn't assume that what you're looking at on that chart is going to stay like it is for much longer. We anticipate that we will be announcing some projects, and we don't appear to be capacity constrained. That doesn't seem to be a constraint for us in Q4.
Okay. That's great. And just another question, if I may, on Arcus. Is the plan to shoot land seismic in Canada as well, and can we see any projects coming there in coming months? Or maybe not through the winter, but for next year?
Yeah, in fact, that was the main motivation for the Arcus acquisition, was they're a Canadian data library specialist. You know, Canada is the second largest onshore multi-client data market in the world, next to the onshore U.S., and so we decided to do the Arcus acquisition, I guess, for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, to get access to that onshore multi-client market, and they have the project development expertise to put those projects together. And so I would, you know, if we're very excited about the acquisition. If we're successful with it, you're going to start seeing some project announcements coming pretty soon out of that group up there in onshore Canada. Secondly, another reason why we acquired that company is they have, in total, the company consists of about 80 employees, many of which are processing specialists, in particular onshore processing specialists. So as we grow our onshore multi-client business, we need more experts that are experienced in processing land seismic data, which is different than processing marine seismic data. It's more complex in some ways.
Okay, that's great. And finally, just if I may, I guess on the last one here, but in terms of clarifying, a number of your competitors obviously have broadband solutions and recently launched Clarify. How's that going in terms of tendering that tool, and when can we kind of expect to see the first Clarify processed data from you?
Yeah, you know, we do most of our processing algorithm development and R&D to apply to our own data library, and we've already started applying that technology to select portions of our data library. It's pretty new right now in the market, so you know, we're still tweaking it a bit. We have been showing it to customers, and we've been getting a lot of good response from customers. They like what they see from the technology. But you know, we don't chase that proprietary processing market very aggressively. You know, the reason why we develop our processing technologies for the most part is application to our own multi-client data, and we see some opportunity to do that here coming forward.
Okay, great. Thanks very much, Charles.
Sure, James.
We'll take our next question from Alex Brooks from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon again. Sorry, I was being very polite and only asking one of two of my questions. the other question I have is obviously a number of your US-based peers are experiencing some fairly acute difficulties. You know, one of the distinguishing features of your business is you have a very large cash pile, although somewhat diminished this quarter. I mean, are there opportunities that open up? Is there something that you know, is would you like to comment on where there may be interesting things to do?
Yeah, I think when you're talking about our U.S.-based peers, you're probably speaking more regards to folks that are active in the onshore seismic business. I can think of only one of those companies that's really sort of a pure-play multi-client company that's similar to TGS. You know, we don't operate our own land crews just as we don't operate our own marine crews, and we contract, we act like an oil company and contract our acquisition work from those players. And that is a, you know, the onshore acquisition business in the U.S. is a very competitive market, probably more competitive than, and the, you know, the barriers of entry to get into the onshore acquisition business in the U.S. is a lot lower than it is to the marine business. So it inherently, it's a pretty competitive environment for those guys. We don't get exposed to that because, you know, we're asset light. We don't operate our own crews. And you rightly state that, you know, our cash pile is an advantage, and I think we've demonstrated a good use of our cash this quarter in acquiring a Canadian data library company. This is a case where we not only do we find that they're people attractive in terms of growing our data library, but they also have a pretty high quality data library they've already collected that we believe we can leverage and sell. So that, you know, our strong cash position allows us to take advantage of opportunities like that. We occasionally get opportunities to look at other data libraries as well, and we've done that in the past. We've acquired other data libraries in the past.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure, Alex.
As there are no further questions in the queue, that will conclude today's question and answer session. I would now like to turn the call back over to Robert Hobbs for any additional or closing remarks.
Thanks, Elaine. I appreciate everybody's participation in the call. Thank you, and we look forward to talking to you again in, I guess, early November for our Q3 earnings release. Thank you very much.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen.